Jesus had many followers. And we find throughout Scripture that wherever Jesus went, a large crowd followed him. And he not only had a crowd that followed him, there was also close followers. And we read of them like the 72 and the 120. And then, of course, there was the original 12 that Jesus spent most of his time with. But what is so interesting about the life of Jesus, that last 3 years of his life, there was a massive following. And continually, wherever he went, a lot of people followed him. And here in Luke chapter 14, we read of another account of a large crowd following Jesus. We read here from verse 25, I think we've got the verse there, wonderful. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, his wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." It's very interesting about Jesus. He had this tendency whenever a large crowd followed him that he offended some. I mean, you can imagine this. The disciples being so excited about Jesus' popularity that they are not seen as this weird and wacko group, but that they are the privileged that can follow such a great teacher. And as soon as this crowd gets too large, Jesus would say something to offend them. And here is another example. It's very interesting. It's almost as if Jesus deliberately weaned the crowd. Christ was not interested in a large following. He was interested in something else. It wasn't the crowds and the interest and the following that he was looking after. He was looking for something else. He was so different to the norm. You know, today we will do anything to make a following grow, to keep the crowd, to make them grow. But Jesus, he did the opposite. The moment the crowd that followed him got too big, he would say something to offend them. I don't know if you've noticed that. But he did not only do it to the crowds, he also did it to his own close followers, even his disciples. From time to time, he would speak things that would seemingly deliberately offend them. Because Jesus was not looking for casual followers. He was looking for something else. Here in John chapter 6, and I'm just going to read a few scriptures or verses from this chapter. We see another example. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." You know, that was a very offensive concept to the Jews. I mean, the law forbid them to eat the flesh of which there is blood still in it. Here Jesus comes and says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. It was not just an offense to the Jews, it was an offense to the Gentiles. I mean, later on, the Romans would accuse the Christians as cannibals because of these words. It was offensive. And it was that very offensive thing that Jesus hammered on, focused on. You know, Jesus spoke figuratively, of course, but the crowds and the followers, even his disciples, for them, this was a very hard teaching. How can Jesus say we must eat his flesh and drink his blood? And unless we eat his flesh and drink his blood, we will have no life. We do not have eternal life. And you know, they wanted to believe it. The disciples really wanted to believe it, but it was a hard teaching. It was very difficult to accept what Jesus was saying because it did not make sense. How can you possibly mean that we must eat your flesh and drink your blood? Even though we want to believe what you're saying, Lord, this is very difficult. And we read on here in verse 60, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you?" Then here in verse 62, "Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they are full of Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. And from this time, very importantly, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And then he spoke to the 12, do you also want to go away? You see, these words not only offended the crowds, it offended the close followers, the disciples of Jesus. And not just the disciples, but even the original ones, to the point that they were considering leaving Christ. And Jesus asked these very powerful words. He says, do you want to leave me also? And then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. You see, from time to time, Jesus' words are very hard to accept. Even offensive. Because Jesus is not looking for casual followers. He is looking for something else. Peter, even though he did not understand what Jesus was saying, even though he couldn't grasp and accept the full meaning of what Jesus was speaking about at that time, he had come to a place in his heart where he not only had loyalty and faith towards God, but he had a revelation. He had a revelation that this is the Son of God and that his words were not just the key to eternal life, it had the essence of eternal life. And even though it is hard to understand, hard to accept, I believe and know that you are the Son of God and that your words will lead to eternal life. Here he says here in verse 68, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. God is not looking for a following. God is not interested in a following. He is looking for a wholehearted commitment, trust, loyalty, faith towards Him, and also to His Word. And you know what? That wholehearted commitment in Him and His Word, it will lead to an experience, a relationship of Him that will cause us to know Him. You know, that's the amazing thing about the Word of God. You can hear it and not accept it. But when you accept it, it has the capacity to change you. Not just to change you, but to come alive in you. And in that revelation, we see more of God. It's almost as if God is waiting for us to put our trust in Him so that He can reveal more of Himself to us. But we are constantly at this T-junction. Here they say in verse 69, we have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One. Because this wholehearted commitment and faith and trust in God and His Word will lead to an experience and a relationship with God that we will know Him. Not just believe in Him, but know Him. And that is what the disciples have come to realize. Only later did they realize what Jesus was saying. You know, for them, it is hard to accept these words, but they took it to heart. They accepted it. They embraced it. Because they believe and knew that this will lead to eternal life. Later on, at the last meal, when Jesus took the bread and the wine and He said, this is my body and this is my blood. And later on when Jesus hung on the cross and they could see the dots being connected, when the Holy Spirit brought revelation to these words and they could see that Jesus is the Passover Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And if you go throughout the Old Testament, you could see the lamb that was eaten. You could see the blood that was smeared on the doorpost. You could see the dots being filled, you know, later on. Because they accepted, embraced, and believed these words, God not only gave them revelation of eternal life, they gained eternal life through it. Even though it was hard to accept, even though it was offensive at the time, even though it was so difficult for them, they chose to embrace it because they chose to believe and trust in God. Here in Luke 14, we see another large crowd following Jesus. And they actually, if you read it very carefully, they traveled with Jesus. If we go back, there we go. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. You know what? They took leave from home and work to follow Jesus. They were sincerely interested in this Jesus. And as they were following them, and as this crowd grew larger and larger, Jesus stopped, turned around, and spoke these words. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Jesus was not looking for casual followers. He was looking for disciples. He was not interested in the following. He was interested in disciples. Disciples who are willing to forsake everything to follow his teaching, his example, and his life. God today is still not interested in a large following. He's interested in disciples, people who are living the life, who are willing to forsake everything to pursue God, to pursue his teaching, his example, and his voice. That is what a disciple is. A disciple is somebody that follows the teaching, the example, and the voice of the mentor. And God knows, you know what, in this world, it will cost you everything. Because everything in this world is geared to keep us away from him. And God is simply asking this question, are you willing? Christ is, of course, not saying you must hate your family. He's just saying they can't be more important than himself. You can't follow me and have somebody else or something else more important than me. And Jesus very deliberately spoke these words. It is a deliberate in-your-face question. If you want to follow me, you must be willing to forsake everything. Even your own life. It's a deliberate in-your-face question. It is meant to shock us to the sober point of calculation. You know, today we are so diplomatically correct. We are so careful how we present the gospel in case we might offend somebody. But Jesus, he was so different. He deliberately brought us to this place from time to time of cold calculation. It's either everything or nothing. Because God is not interested in the following. He's interested in disciples. People who are willing to follow him with all their heart. We are running straight into this T-junction and it's either left or right. Jesus turns to this crowd who are following him very sincerely and he says, you know what? You can't be my disciple unless you're willing to forsake everything, even your own life. And then he turns around and he walks again. You know, Jesus is asking the same thing to us today. Now look how he brings this to a cold calculation to the very people who are following him, to the very people who are sitting here today. Who are sincerely interested, sincerely following God. God is asking us a simple question. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish it. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. And now the bottom line, in case we are missing the point. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciple. Jesus makes it very clear. He brings us to this cold place of calculation. It's either left or right, everything or nothing. There's nothing in between. There are so many things in this life that we hold on as absolute. There are so many things in this life that is absolute to us that we will not let go. Our security, our careers, our wealth, our influence, our reputation, even our family relationships. We hold on to it as absolute, and God is simply asking, are you willing to let it go? You know what? I've counseled so many people about so many things in the Word of God. And then they will come to me and they'll ask my advice. They say, I can see something in the Word of God. I can see what the Word of God is saying, but my parents disagree with me. And I'm not talking about minors. I'm talking about students and even grown-ups, adults. And they say, I've got this conflict here. Help me. I see something and my family oppose it. What shall I do? Then I simply respond to him, who convinced you of this? If it was man or the pastor that convinced you of this, then honor your parents. But if it was God that convinced you of this, then honor God. Because you cannot love your parents above God. You got to choose who you're going to follow. And so many things are so dear to us, we hold on to it as absolute. We will not compromise this. And God is simply asking, are you willing to forsake everything to follow me? A cold calculation. God is asking, are you willing to let it go? Are you willing to let it go? I don't know what absolutes are in your life. I don't know. But God is simply asking this morning, are you willing to let it go and follow me? Like Abram and his only son, Isaac. Here in Genesis 22, verse 1, we read, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abram. And he said to him, Abram. And he said, here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son, the son that you waited for 40 years. The son on which the promises of an inheritance. Take that son, Abram, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. And you know what is so powerful? Verse 3. The very next day, Abram got up, took his son, and went to that mountain. I mean, who is this God? Who is this God that will ask something like this from someone who follows him so closely? Who is this man who is willing to give up everything for the God that he follows so closely? I mean, it almost does not make sense. But here in Hebrews 11, it shows us the man. It says here, verse 17, by faith, Abram, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. You see, Abram already offered up Isaac that morning when he left. And Abram, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was says, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. You see, Abram had faith in God's word and faith in God's character. He had so much faith in God's character that he was willing to forsake everything. He was willing to take his only son, the son of promise, because he knew what God said about the son, and he knew the character of God, and he was willing to go to that mountain. And you know what? He got his son back. Who is this God? What is this character that we are meant to hold on as absolute? Here we see in Genesis 22, verse 15, we see the character of God. As Abram was at the point of sacrificing the son, when he was at the point of letting it go, you know what? That's incorrect. Abram let go of his son the morning when he woke up. His son was an absolute in his life, and Jesus challenged him. God challenged him about this absolute. And you know what Abram did? He said, okay, God, I will open my hand. If you want to take him, God, take him. Because I choose to believe in you, in your word, in your character, God. And I know, God, that even if he dies today, you will raise him up again because you said, my seed will be counted through him. So God, here I am, I'm opening my hand before you. And you know what happened? Then the angel of the Lord called to Abram on a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done these things and you have not withheld your son, your only son, with blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply the descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice, because you have trusted in me, because you were willing to forsake everything for me. Therefore, I will bless you far beyond everything that you were willing to give. I will multiply it as so far as your mind can possibly comprehend. So much more, because you were willing, because you have obeyed my word, because you were willing to give up everything, because you trusted in me, I will bless you with far more than what you have given. My question this morning is simply this. I believe God is asking this question. What are you still holding on to as absolute? God is asking us this morning, are you willing to let it go? Are you willing to open your hand? Are you willing to come to God with an open hand and follow him? Follow him wherever he might lead, wherever he might direct. How difficult it might be, how hard it is maybe to understand, to accept it. God is asking a simple question. Are you willing to trust me, to follow me wherever I lead? Through my word, my example, my voice, are you willing? Like that rich young ruler. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your mother and your father. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. What an amazing man. Committed to God. Here he comes to Christ and he says, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Eternal life. What must I do, God? So when Jesus heard these things, he said to them, there's still one thing. There's still one thing you lack. There's still one thing that you're holding on to as absolute. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? But he said, the things which are impossible for man are possible with God. And then Peter said something very interesting. It brought us back to Luke chapter 14. See, we have left all and followed you. And then he said to them, surely I say to you, there is none of you who has left houses or parents or brothers or wife or children. Remember those words in Luke 14? Who shall not receive many times more in this present life and in the age to come eternal life. Bringing us right back to Genesis. There is none of you that were willing to open their hand that didn't receive far more back than what you were willing to give. That is the God who we are serving, and he's simply testing us. And you know what? Even when we give out of open hand, you know what? That what we receive back far outweighs everything that we've ever given that seems such a great loss to us. When we look at what we receive, it always outweighs that what we have given. That's the God, that's the character that we hold on absolutely to. God is asking a simple question: are you willing to let go? Are you willing to trust Him enough to come to Him with an open hand and say, God, I'm willing to let everything go and follow You, wherever You may lead. Here I am, God, I'm willing. I'm willing to let everything go and follow You. When we come to God with an open hand, you know, we soon discover that God does not want to take anything. In my life, I've discovered that I was willing to give up everything, but you know what? I've realized God didn't take a lot. Because He didn't need any of those things. He simply tested my heart whether I was willing to let it go. Because He wants our whole heart, our absolute commitment in Him alone. And like I say, even when we do give out of an open hand, you know, the things that He replaces with far outweighs the loss that we register initially when we let things go. So are you willing to let go of the absolute in your life? Are you willing to forsake everything and follow Him? Are you willing to count the cost and move from being a follower of Jesus to become a disciple? It's a cold place of calculation. God is saying, are you willing to follow Me at the cost of everything? To move from being a follower to become a disciple. You know, I quote that Psalm of David so often, where David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he goes on and he says, I shall not want, because He leads me to where there is rest and where there is peace. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are there right with me. Not because I got myself there, but because I was following You. I was following You. You led me. I was willing to forsake everything, even to go through this valley, because I knew You. I knew You would not leave me there. You will lead me through it. You led me to this valley, and I know You will lead me through it, because I know where You lead me, there will be rest, there will be peace. And God is simply asking this morning, are you willing to trust Me? Are you willing to come to Me with an open hand? Say, Lord, I will follow You wherever You lead me. I'm going to end off here, and I'm going to give you a moment, just a moment to reflect. Just to speak to God in your own heart. Just to ask the Holy Spirit to come to reveal to you the things that is still absolute in your life, and to come to that cold place of calculation where you say, God, I'm willing to let go. I'm willing to come to You, Lord, with an open hand. And God, I want You to lead me. Because I trust that You are a good God. That God, that You will provide, Lord, that You will lead me to eternal life. Because eternal life is far more than anything that this world can give me. Because God is not looking for a following. He's looking for disciples. Let us pray. I'm going to give you a moment just as you're seated there. Just in your own heart. Father, I bring ourselves to You this morning, God, and we stand before You, God, and we hear these words of Christ, which is so hard, God, to accept, so difficult to understand. But yet, God, You are asking us, God, whether we are willing to let go. And God, as we stand before You, Father, I'm going to give each one of us an opportunity, God, just in our own hearts, Holy Spirit, to come and show us the things that we are still holding on to as absolute in our life. And God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that You will help us to count the cost, to make the calculation. And Father, I pray that we will be able to let go. Just to trust You. Even though we might not understand what it means and where it will lead, God, but I thank You that Your word, God, Like we sang this morning, God, you do not change. You are the same God of Abram. You are the same God that called Abram to offer up Isaac. And yet you gave him far more. You are the same God, Lord, that spoke to that rich young ruler. You're the same God that spoke to the disciples. And God, as you are speaking to us this morning, God, we want to open our hearts to you, God. Show us the things that we are holding on to, God. And I pray, Lord, for a calculation, God. Accounting of cost this morning. Because I really believe God is speaking to many of us here today. To move from becoming a follower to become a disciple. So I'm going to give you an opportunity just now in your seats just to pray to God. Just to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and to count that cost. As I was preparing while you are still speaking to God, I really believe there's somebody here, maybe there's more than one person here that is really struggling with fear and stress in their life. God is simply saying this morning, you cannot serve two masters. Are you willing to put me first? Are you willing to put me above all the things that is absolute in your life? And I think for some of you, it might just be one thing. You know, Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. You will either hate the one or love the other. Or else you will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. But listen to this. Therefore, in the context of this, if you are willing to put me first and serve me only, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life because you have placed me first. Therefore, you don't have to worry about your life, about what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at my character. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lily of the fields, how they grow. They neither spin nor toil. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the fields which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, because you have chosen to put me first, to make me the absolute in your life. Therefore do not worry about what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things that you are worrying about, that you are afraid of, will be taken care of. Because you have placed me. Because you were willing to do this thing. To give your son, your only son, that absolute in your life. Because you were willing to do this thing. I will bless you. I will multiply. I will provide. I will give you an inheritance. If that is you this morning, I really want to give you an opportunity to respond to God. If you are here this morning and you've come to this place of cold calculation and you've brought those things, those absolutes in your life to God and you say, God, here I am, I'm willing, God, I'm willing to open my hand. Even if it is a seed that I need to sow, God, even if it's just putting you first. Because God, I want to be your disciple. I want to go where you go. And follow where you lead, God. If that is you this morning, if you have made that decision in your heart, I want you to respond to God by standing. And you know what? The altar call, why it is so powerful? Because it costs you something. Because for many of us, this is about our reputation. And what others might think of us. God is saying, are you willing to to forsake everything to follow me. I'm going to give you a moment just to make that calculation. A little bit earlier we sang, "Great are thou faithfulness. Great are thou faithfulness." You are faithful to perform your word. You are faithful to perform your promises. You are worthy, God. You are worthy of all my trust. God, you are worthy of all my life. Because I see your Son on the cross. I can see, God, that your love is not just an emotional intent. But God, you were willing to forsake everything so that I can have life. God, great is your faithfulness. You are worthy, God, of all my trust. God, you are worthy of all my life. If you are standing here this morning, and this is the first time that you have come to God, and you say, "God, I want to give you my life." I don't know if this is your first time, but if this is your first time that you come before God and say, "God, I choose to put my trust in you, to put my life in your hands. God, I want to surrender everything to you." If this is the first time that you've ever done this, I want you to raise your hand. Is there anybody here that's doing this for the very first time? Father, I want to thank you for these lives, Lord, that are here this morning. God, I thank you that we know that you are an awesome, great God. Lord, I thank you, God, that your word is true, that your promises will come to being. God, I thank you, God, that we can put our life in your hands and know, God, know that it is safe. God, I thank you for each and every life here, for those who are returning to you and those who are committing themselves more to you. For those that you are speaking to this morning, God, that had absolutes in their life, God, maybe there was none in the past and there's become some, Lord. I thank you, God, that today, Lord, you are calling them again to follow you, to become disciples. Lord, like you called your disciples the very first time, you said, "Follow me and I will make you. I will change you." And immediately they left everything and followed him. God, I thank you, Father, that following you, even though it's not easy, even though it is not casual, even though it is a deliberate decision to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and to follow you, God, I thank you that what we gain far outweighs the loss that we register in our hearts. God, I thank you, God, for life eternally in the presence and knowledge of you. God, I thank you that even in this life, you, God, you say that everything that we have given, God, will be given to us back in a greater measure. And God, I thank you, God, for people that are letting go of things here today, God, and I thank you that you will multiply that very thing that they think they are giving away. I thank you, God, for reputation, God. I thank you, God, for wealth, for influence, God. I thank you, God, for even if that does not come in this life, it will come in the next, because you are faithful, God. I thank you, God, that you say, God, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. That our joy is you, God. And I pray, God, that as we leave this place, God, as disciples, God, I pray that we will not just believe in you, but that we will know you. God, that we know that your words not only are life, it is eternal life. And God, I pray, Lord, for those hands that have been opened today, God. I pray, God, that as they are opening today, God, that you will bless those hands, God. That you will bless them to give. but also to receive. God, I thank you for the grace that is enabling them to open it up, God. But I thank you, God, that you will fill those very hands that is open before you, God. And I thank you, God, that you will lead to where there's rest, to where there's peace. God, I thank you, God, for those that are here this morning that are afraid. That are afraid for the future. That are stressed out, God, because of their business and because of their commitments. God, I thank you, God, as they open their hands, God, that you will take care of them. Lord, as they let go of those absolutes in their life, God, as they seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, that God, that you will take care of the rest, that you will take care of their life, that you will take care of their family, that you will take care of their old age and their future, God. I thank you, Father, that as we put you first, God, and your righteousness, that you say that you will take care of the rest. And I thank you for that, God. I thank you for a peace, God, that surpasses all understanding because they choose to put their trust and their faith in you. And I thank you, God, as they leave this place, God, that they will follow you, that they will pursue you, that they will seek you until they find you, God. Your word says that without faith, it is impossible to please you because those who come to you must believe that you exist and that you are a rewarder of those who earnestly seek you. And God, as we leave this place, Father, and we're seeking you, God, I thank you that you will reward each and every person. In Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that we can have this peace and this confidence in you as we let go. In Jesus' name. I'm going to end this meeting and I'm going to say thank you so much for coming. I'm going to say may God bless you as you follow Him to become, to be changed. I want to encourage you to allow Him to change your life. As you spend time in His presence and His Word, as you embrace it, as you listen to His voice and you follow Him, in the following you will be changed and you will become. And you will see God's provision in your life. You will see it and you will not just believe, you will know that He is the Son of God. Amen. May God bless you. If you're in need of prayer, I would love to pray with you. But I'm going to dismiss the meeting. It's 5:30. Thank you for coming. May you have a blessed time of rest. For those who are resting, for those who are working, may God bless your hands. But if you're in need of prayer, please come forward. If you're struggling with fear, if you're still uneasy, if you're still having peace, just come forward and I will pray with you. But thank you so much for coming. May God bless you. For the family and friends, it's great to have you here. Go celebrate the gift and bless the family. Thank you for coming. May God bless you.